Home Theater Podcast, a home theater podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Here we go. Yeah.
Now, Deech, what's happened? Something's happened. Is it because we've now suddenly going a bit more mainstream? We've got a few more people tuning in that you're now saying home theater fans, not home theater nerds? Have we gone too mainstream? Is that what's happened?
No. What happened is, as I sit down here and lucky enough, we had like 5 minutes to us, Steve, and I got a quick few minutes here to actually go through the chat and see people are awesome. People are asking questions, no takeover Tuesday, and then people are answering the question. DJ is probably too busy. The understanding of everybody is amazing. I love it. Thank you so much. Cause yes, you're right. Steve in the chat is saying, you know, oh, I think he was probably too busy. Somebody's like, oh, I'm just surprised DJ didn't drop a note. You're right. I should have, but I didn't. And I should have said nerds instead of fans. And I should have done this. I should have put on some bright side gear before I sat down. It's the last week has been crazy, and not to mention some other stuff, but the actual building, I'm just trying to be there for my contractors and my plumber's like, I need a wall here. I'll get you a wall there. And I don't mean like tomorrow. He needs it in like 10 minutes. So that's what my week was like last week. I was like the Tasmanian devil with a tool belt. It was brutal. So
yeah, just, you know, if you've got a plumber, just make sure it's not a pipe dream.
Nope, he's not. Jordan's awesome. I hope I'm not dreaming, because if I wake up, it means I have to do all this crap over again, Steve.
No. Let's not do that. Alrighty, man. All right. Well, there we go. Let's say hello to everyone in the chat, shall we?
Yeah, go on. Go nuts.
It's please. Already rocking. Yeah. So we've got Steve At. He's in the chat. He's first this week. Mikey Schramm, what's going on, mate? I think Steve's got ahead of you there. So we've got Dan Carpenter's in. Johnny Speakers is in. Mikey, obviously, as I said, we've got Van Gool is in. Hiya, Van Gool.
Nice.
We've got – who else? There's actually loads. Let's see. Who else have we got? We've got Paul Hurt's in. Hiya, Paul. Jealous about the Abyss, mate. Mine's not coming until later this week. If it'll ever get out of whatever it is, Chattanooga, New York, or whatever it is. Anyway, it's on its way. And we've got Rach's in. Hi, Rach. Dom's in. And who else have we got? And
Bill McAllister.
Bill McAllister's in. Yeah. Jordan's in, of course, not the plumber Jordan. Edward Colbreth as well, as Ed's in too. So, Brockstar's in, Marcus B's in as well. Ariel's in. Yeah, the world is here. So hello guys. And anyone that's listening that wants to just say hi in the chat, feel free. Always nice to say hello to you. As best we can.
Thanks.
And unlike the rest of Twitter and X and the rest of social media, we won't go too crazy about the Cameron discs. We promise.
We talked about that a month ago.
Actually, but not the transfers.
Months, back in December, 3 months ago. Yeah, about the transfers. Yeah.
My Abyss is coming later this week. It's on its way.
That sounds funny. My Abyss is coming later this week.
Indeed. Yeah. So, but I'm hoping to have it this week, and give that a watch. But the other two, True Lies isn't out here till the 1st of April, and then Aliens not until the 22nd of April. That's quite a long time away. But of course, the Abyss is not getting a UK release. Because Disney refused to cut it.
They really did that.
It's always been cut in the UK. Yeah. So it's either the whole thing or nothing. And, the BBFC, that's the British Board of Film Classification, said, no, well, then it's nothing then. And Disney were like, okay. And so all of us that like this stuff have had to import it from the US. So fair play to Paul Hurt. He's already got his. John Thompson's already had his. Although, of course, you know, he's got back channels. You know, it's probably come from Bob Iger himself.
I don't think those are back channels though for him. Those are considered front channels. The back channels for us.
Yes, yeah.
For that him, is that's true. That is business true. Is business is business.
Yeah. Quite. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he's, but he, you know, he just seems to get hold of these things super early. So fair play to him, especially from those companies.
Yeah.
There you go. But there we go. Oh, and Jordan says, his Abyss. There we go. Look, so his Abyss cleared customs. So it should arrive very soon. I think mine has been delayed slightly, but I'm still hoping it'll be here this week. As I said, it's out of New York. Cool. But yeah, we could track it on Amazon Deeds, right? And it's gone from Florida. So, I mean, you could tell me whether this is weird, right? Because you know, your geography of the US will be a lot better than mine. And it's gone from Florida to Michigan, Michigan to New Jersey, New Jersey to New York. And now it's kind of left there and it's probably halfway over the Atlantic. But yeah, it just seems like such a weird, surely it should just go straight from Florida to the UK.
Yeah. I worked at UPS back in the 90s and that was when it was like first, or that I first learned about it, where you send everything to a hub regardless. Mm-hmm. So like if I sent something and like even just to the next town over, UPS wise, it would be like, it would go out to a hub, like you said, like everything gets on, goes to Michigan and everything comes back and it's there by the next day. It's crazy, but it's the most efficient so that you know where everything, you know, it's instead of going, well, this one needs to go here. It's crazy.
It's
amazing that it gets to you in the first place.
It is. And look, if we waited 2 decades for the Abyss, I could wait a few more days.
Exactly.
But I have been so disciplined. You'd be proud of me, Deej, right?
I'm always so proud of you, Steve.
Well, it's very sweet of you, right? But I very often let you down on Twitter. And I thought that over the weekend, with all the number of people who were going on there and going, I don't like this particular picture. And oh, I don't like the grain. And I've been very good. And have not gone on Twitter and just vented at the world and saying, you've waited 20 years for this. And now you're going to moan about the fact you finally got this thing when the only thing you had before was a non-anamorphic DVD.
Right.
And you're telling me this is not good. So anyway, I've been very good over the weekend.
Yeah.
I've been that close.
There was one today where it was the Aliens disc and they actually had a meme about it and they showed the newest one and the still they showed of Sigourney Weaver's face was beautiful. It was like so detailed and everything. Like you looked at her lips and her eyes, and like eyes in particular are supposed to be like glassy and they're supposed to look wet, right? So shiny and wet. And the older version, it looks good, but not by, in my opinion, not by comparison, because it does have all that film grain in there and it gives a texture to her eyeballs. It gives a texture to everything. And the meme was they liked the textured one. And it's like, come on. It's like, you know, like when you see the disc, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these are reference discs by any stretch, but it's like, you know, film grain isn't necessarily, you know, it's one of those things that if they could have eliminated it 50 years ago, they would have. Nobody wants that texture there all the time, you know, unless you're doing it as like an artistic choice. Now, just like when you do like the, who did the paintings and the dots? I forget his name off the top of my head.
Oh, and you're the artist.
Yeah, but that's a choice, right? Who does airbrushing? Mm-hmm. That's a choice. There's textures to it. There's textures to oil. That's why people work in them. So when somebody removes it, like Cameron, don't get mad at the artist. Don't get mad at his product. Just, I mean, you might not like it, but you can't say it's wrong.
Yeah, well, I don't get it. I wish I understood why. Now, look, it's not just this industry, because people do it with new cars and they do it with new, you know, whatever it might be. There's always those that just won't be happy with what they've got. But I can't get my head around 20 years or more we've been waiting. And, you know, it was, look, it's going to come on a new special edition anamorphic DVD. It's all right. It's going to come on HD DVD. It's all right. It's going to come on Blu-ray this year, next year, year after, year after that. And now we get a 4K Dolby Atmos mix for all three of these movies. And you've got people going, oh, I don't like that. What?
Yeah.
And I mean, okay, I haven't seen them yet, but
I think they're in the minority. I really do. Social media is not a good gauge of general population. It's really limited, as much as people think it isn't. Like, cause if you're being backed on it, you're like, yeah, see, everybody thinks like me. No, they do, but it's like a small percentage of the population is even on social media.
Indeed. Oh, there we go. So Steve Atz got my back. So yeah, better than what we had. I mean, there can't be any doubt about that. You know, I mean, maybe the, maybe some of these people don't have never owned the non-anamorphic DVD. I mean, I remember it well.
Yeah.
And it was dreadful. And I remember the, you know, the massive black bars and you could, you know, you, and if you zoomed it up, you had all your lines, your scan lines and everything else. And, you know, so this is going to be better than that. All three of these will be better than that. Although in fairness, Todd Anderson of this parish, you know, that we, you know, we're friend of the show.
Yeah.
He did say that the Spanish import Blu-ray is fairly similar to the True Lights 4K print, not the audio. So, I mean, you know, who knows? I haven't seen any of them yet, but I will be stunned if they are, you know, not a massive, ridiculous improvement over what we've had before. And, you know, so I, like I said, I've been very good on Twitter. I've been wanting to vent all week, or weekend anyway.
There you go.
I've been restrained. So I thought I'd save it for this.
I'm barely on Twitter. I go on like a few minutes a day. I'll like a couple things. I'll see some stuff and make a comment if I can. And it's like, I'm barely even on anymore. And it's, I miss talking and having conversations with, you know, our listeners. But other than that, it's actually made my day more pleasant.
You
know, like, what the heck is this?
Cold turkey.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. But yeah, so looking forward to getting it anyway and having a look. And Aliens is my personal favorite of the three. So I cannot wait for that. I love that movie. So, you know, an Atmos version of that. It could be just the Atmos track in a blank screen and I'd be happy.
Yeah, exactly. So Bill McAllister in the chat, to the naysayers, settle down, Francis.
What's that from?
What's that from? That's from Stripes.
I like Stripes. I haven't seen it for a long time. Yeah, Bill Murray. Yeah,
and they all got together and it's like, nobody calls me Francis. Settle down, Francis. Yeah, that was great.
Nice one, Bill. All right. Yeah, like it.
So, let me hit this before we get into, there we go. Danny Speakers coming in with a $10 box of popcorn. Thanks, Dan. That was earlier this week. So at this time, thank you to all the patrons. Thanks, Dan. This is what we're doing. Like right away, we're going. And as soon as I get these, now that my account is linked, it's not a problem at all. I just take this stuff and I put it right into the Brightside Home Theater podcast. And just to let you know, I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Every time I get a check from one of my dealerships from my work, I'm putting 10% into the home theater. So that's going to be for like, so I'm obviously, and that now I can pay everything anyways, but between the money that we're getting through patrons, patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. Thank you. If you want to sign up, or you could just buy us a box of popcorn and yeah. And as soon as all that, you know, everything's linked, everything's paid for through the show like this and, see how it keeps on going. So. Thanks, Dan. I appreciate that. What's that, Steve? What are you laughing at?
John must be wondering that, you know, all this time that he was on the show and you didn't want to talk money and now he's stepped back for a little bit. It's like money, money, money.
Well, it's funny because
John must be so proud.
Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, things happen out of necessity, right? It's like, you don't, you know, right. Necessity is the mother of invention, right? So, personally, it'd probably still be sitting there, but I literally wouldn't be able to do anything if I hadn't been putting that money away. And like every, you know, all the, you know, 50% went to all the charities we gave. I just paid that. And the money, I mean, the boxes of popcorn always went to my stuff, but the patrons and all of that just sat there. And I just been paying, luckily, you know, I just been leaving it there. So now I'm literally like every penny of my accounts are spoken for. I got people to pay. I got money's going left and right here. So the fact that I could simplify this and have that money sitting there, it's enabled. Otherwise I'd be like, I mean, the podcast would go, but anything else like that I'd like to do, not even, couldn't do it. Wouldn't be able to do it. I wouldn't have anything. So yeah.
I said, John must be so proud. Look at what I've created. John must think.
Speaking of John, I had a great conversation with him yesterday. And he had, was it Saturday, Steve? Birth of his 10th grandchild. He had a granddaughter added to the family. We'll leave it at that. I don't want to get too personal on him, but he's super excited. He didn't tweet out that picture, right? But he sent it to us, and he had the, and you commented on it because the granddaughter was covering the logo. Why don't you describe it? Because you kind of stepped in it.
I
loved how he was just like, here you go, Steve.
Yeah, I reckon it's Photoshop.
No.
Had they not been live photos that he sent? Yeah, he said live photos as well. Had it not been live ones, I might have thought he's photoshopped that. So yeah, for those wondering, John sent a picture of him holding his new granddaughter, and he had a black t-shirt on with what was, but the new addition to the family was covering part of the shirt, but I could see it was a Godfather logo, of course, very distinctive with the puppet strings. And so I said to him, you've got that wrong, John. Ugh, it should be the grandfather, not the Godfather. And what, 30 seconds later, he sent a picture. And sure enough, the shirt is the Godfather logo, but it says the grandfather.
Yeah.
Which is very cool. So yeah, he was way ahead of me.
Yeah.
Looking very, very proud.
Let me see if I can even pull it up. Let me pull that up.
Yeah,
if I have it here.
Yeah, it's a live photo though. I don't know if you can you can pull up a live photo. But yeah, very very cool. So he was very pleased and very proud, and it's good to see.
he was really excited. Had a great day on Saturday. Long day. I know that.
Oh yeah.
And then him and I had long conversation yesterday. He had a funny family story. I had a quote funny family story. They were more funny to the other ones than they were to us. Like it was like he laughed at my story and I laughed at his story, but it was kind of like we both going through some stuff, personal stuff, but we had, I don't think he'd mind me mentioning that things are going really well for him right now. Knock on wood with the store. Sales are going well. People are coming in. He's really appreciative of everybody that's come into the store and buying stuff. So much so that we're sitting there laughing going, you know, he's like, of course you're like, I've never seen these people before. Where were you? So it's like, but that's what happens. You know, you put up a going out of business sign. Everybody comes out of the woodwork and you're like, you know, I wouldn't be going out of business. It's like we were saying, if all of these people just showed up like once a month, he goes, I would have been rolling. So
that's what I said to him. I said to him, you know, he needs to close down every month.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you know, that's great. You did put, you went past the picture. It is there.
Oh, there it is. There we go.
Yeah, got it. Oh, yeah, there it is.
There we go.
For those watching on YouTube,
there is the proud grandfather of 10. He truly is the grandfather. 10.
I mean, yeah.
It's a large family.
At what point does he become like, he needs one more and then he's got a soccer team. That's the plan all along. He's going to install himself as the manager.
Yeah, exactly. He doesn't want to play anymore. He needs one more so he can retire.
Yes, that's it. Yeah. Not player manager anymore. Just little player coach. Just,
But looking at that picture, you can see like in the original, like he was holding the baby and it was covering like just the bottom part. So you could see like it. You could see what logo it was. And then, Steve, I loved it too. Before I could even say anything, Steve says his thing. And then John just jumps right back at it. Like, woohoo. So awesome. So yeah,
couldn't have planned it better.
Yeah. Everybody in the chat saying, you know, congratulations. So thanks. Thanks. Mm. He's listening. Trust me. He's listening. One of the things he's like, this was before our conversation yesterday. I don't know what day it was. He texts me out of the blue and he goes, I'm dying. He goes, I love that you channeled your inner John last week. He goes, nice job. Keep it rolling. So funny.
Oh man, it's awesome. No, he was very pleased and he did tell me that he'd seen, Last Voyage of the Demeter. He made Lydia sit down and watch it. His words, right?
Oh, really?
I made Lydia watch it, and they had a great time. They really enjoyed it. So that's very cool, because that was the digital copy, I think, that I sent him as well. So that's it's great. Nice. Although he still hasn't seen The Raid, but he's saying that Lydia won't want to watch that. So, yeah. Well, Mr. Briggs, what the hell?
Yeah, what have I been doing with my time? We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We got some really good news. We got some updates on the house coming. We've got some home theater experiences. I even have a couple. I got some scenes. For everybody listening, obviously, right at the front, don't forget, Friday, 6 p.m., HT Guys, SVS with Nick and Smith. We're going to have so much fun. Talk to Ara today. Ara and I, he's like, so how do you want to do this? And I told him how I do these things. And he's like, okay. Because you know me. I'm like, I got ideas. If you want to put up a couple of bullets, and if we hit them, we hit them. If we don't, we go on the tangents. And he goes, okay. And it's like, and I love that Ara's doing this, because that's outside of his comfort zone. He's more like bullet, bullet, bullet. And I'm just like, see where it goes.
Yeah. See to the pants.
Yeah. It's so funny. But hey, that's what's going to, it's going to be fun. So you're there. Steve, that is, myself, Braden, Ara, Nick. Nick is coming to us from Montreal. He's at an expo up there, so he's going to be on the floor of whatever expo he's at up there. And Smith, their engineer, so can't wait. It's going to be awesome. So 6 p.m. live on this channel. Steve will have it. We'll both have it going on X. Maybe R will have it going. I'm hoping to have the link up for it tomorrow, so if you want to set your reminders for it. But I'm also, as people were saying in the chat, you know, sorry, no Takeover Tuesday this week. I actually was going to do this week's Takeover Tuesday with the emails and stuff, and then just rerun the live chat from Friday next week. And then I just, things ran out of time. I was like, oh, I should have done that already. So sorry about that. But next week I will, there'll probably be two Takeover Tuesdays next week. I'll probably just run both of them. That's the update from there. We're running on a shoestring here of energy, so I appreciate it. But I got news for you that I know how I am when this stuff happens. Like, I'm in the middle of this project right now, and it's taking all of my resources. But when stuff like this ends, and now you have all this energy because you've been so busy for so long, guess where I'm channeling it? Right here. So get your donations in, because I'll be traveling. I'm going to do stuff. It's like, if I got the money, I'm going. So let's have some fun. You ready to get to some home theater stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Or anything else you needed before we started doing that?
Oh, well, I mean, if you're asking, just while we were talking The Raid again, because I like, you know, The Raid is becoming this year's, you know, Evil Dead Rise. We kind of mentioned it every week. So Paul Hurt says there are two cinemas I know showing Raid 2 double bills in LA and London. Check you out, Paul. Ooh. Very posh, right? Okay. And although Paul does follow that up by saying, which probably works for about two of us.
Exactly.
I mean, if you could catch them on the big screen, then, you know, good on you. You know, it's not bad at all.
What year? When did those come out? Those are older.
2011.
Was it 11 and 14?
2009,
something?
2011, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Because it was the year Dread came out. That's when the first Raid came out.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
And then I think it was 2011 for the Raid 2. I can't leave this. I've got to know. Talk amongst yourselves.
They really are.
So The Raid was, survey says, so The Raid was 2011, there we go, and The Raid 2 was 2014.
According to
IMDb.
They're fairly old.
They're getting on a bit. But they're very cool movies, as I say every week.
Yeah, I know.
And you're looking forward to finding out at some point.
I am. I very much am. It's still sitting here. And it's cellophane.
It is.
Still sitting here.
I
actually thought of making this a feature too. Is like, I've bought, let me see here, this week, and this is how hopeful and optimistic I am about, like, stuff comes out and I'll buy stuff. So since we last spoke, Steve, so I bought The Incredible Hulk dropped on Kaleidoscape 4K Atmos.
Nice.
So I grabbed
yeah,
that.
It's nice.
Mm-hmm. John and I actually, when John was here, we watched that in my theater. I bought Contagion on Kaleidoscape. I grabbed that.
It's catching.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But I was like, it's like we talked about last week. Definitely want to have, go ahead. I've given you two already. What's the over under, everybody? Let's guess how many movies DJ has bought but not watched. Do you mean this week or in general?
And a side bet, how many of the same copy of film has he bought?
exactly. Yeah.
Because you bought two Raids. You've bought two copies of The Raid already.
Yeah, you're right. I did.
Yeah.
I was like, you can't do that anymore. Oh, yeah, you can if you get the physical and the Kaleidoscape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys talk amongst yourselves, fully watched or just scenes. Let's guess how many movies DJ has bought but not watched. If I've never seen a movie, I would never watch just scenes from it. If I've never seen it, I always watch it first and then I'll do scenes. Since we last spoke, last week I told you I had bought The Zone of Interest and Poor Things. That was just before the show because of the Oscars, right? But since last week, The Incredible Hulk, Contagion, the ultimate cut of Watchmen in 4K HDR and DTS 5.1, which I already own on disc as well, but I bought that on Kaleidoscape. Madam Web dropped. So I bought it.
Yes.
And then I also re-downloaded, which I already owned, but didn't have to buy, but re-downloaded a movie we'll be talking about a little later. So I won't tell you what that one is yet. But but yes. So
how many is that? Five?
That's five. That's just five. This is a slow week, actually. What are you up to, buddy?
That's mine from this week.
There you go. What's that, seven?
A number of them. I think it's 10.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. And I've got two on the way that should be here next couple of days.
Yeah. So I'm not doing too bad for somebody who isn't watching them. But I'm like, I get hopeful. So Watchmen was, if I wasn't doing this, I listened to Zack Snyder on Rogan, which was an awesome interview. And which was really good. I don't know if I told you this one yet, Steve. He takes all of his films and he saves them as films and he locks them up in protected in a vault type situation.
As in celluloid.
Yes. Because he's like, him and Rogan go into this whole thing. Like people just keep saying, digital's great. It's in the cloud. They don't even know what a cloud is. He goes, what happens when the cloud goes away? And he's like, Snyder's like, we're going to lose a lot of stuff because they're not saving them. And he goes, if something ever happens to like the digital network or something, you're like, where'd they go? I don't know. It was fascinating listening to him and a lot of, artistic similarities there. I love hearing them talk about, and you know what he did say? I told my brother-in-law this when we were working last week. I was like, he goes, being a director is like building a house or a building. He goes, cause you got a vision in your head on what you want and you've got to get all the different people that are involved to see what you're seeing. And my brother-in-law gets frustrated with me because he's family, cause he's like my brother. So he's just like, what the hell? All my other vendors, all my other contractors like, okay. Yeah, whatever you want, buddy. Because everybody comes in. I'm like, this is the theater. Don't put anything up here. Do this. I have specific instructions. Why are you doing this? Don't worry about it. Just do it this way. And it's like, so when Snyder was saying that, I was like, oh wow, this is what it's like to be a director. I don't want to be a director.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it must be horrendous though, mustn't it? Especially on a bigger movie. It's one thing if it's a smaller budget film and it's fine. But if you've got, 700 people working on a movie and all these different departments and they're all over the world now as well. So it's not like it's all kind of, you can get 700 people in a room and go, right guys, this is what we're going to do. Now you're dealing with them, in South Africa, you're dealing with them in London, you're dealing with them in LA and oh my God.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason that only very few people do it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know. But the greats all started with no budget movies, right? And that's, and that's where, and I think it was it Rob Cohn that did, Hurricane Heist. I think it was, Rob Cohn? Yeah. But he had done Fast and the Furious before that, right? And he said something in there and he goes, when you get a movie like a franchise movie that has a huge budget, he goes, it's easy. You have a problem, you just throw money at it. And he goes, we had a shot in Hurricane Heist that he wanted to use a crane and get a crane in there and do all this to get the shot right and everything. And so he puts in for the crane and they're like, uh-uh. He goes, it's not in the budget. No, we're not allowing it. He goes, so I had to improvise. And he goes, and that's what great idea. That's where the art comes in, right? And you and I talked before we started. I'm like, that's what goes on. The bigger the budget, the easier it is because you're not beholden to the money constraints. There aren't any, really. You're to a degree. And that's, but this is coming from a director had said this, right?
Yeah.
It's when you have a small budget, but your idea, and like go back to George Lucas in 77. He had grand ideas, but no budget or technology could get his ideas out of his head, you know, and that's very difficult. You know, it's like you try to do something.
Yeah. I mean, and yet I've heard directors turn that on its head because, as you said earlier, you know, necessity is the mother of invention. Mm-hmm. So if you've got a small film and you've got an idea and you're thinking, I want to get this on film, then that can be when some of the most creative things happen. Look at Jaws. You know, Spielberg wanted to see the shark. We wanted to see the shark swimming. They're like, the shark doesn't bloody work. What do we do? Well, don't worry. We're literally. Yeah. And then you go, well, it's all right. I'll just stick a camera on the ocean bed, looking up at the swimmers, and everyone will just assume that's the shark. I mean, that's because he couldn't get it to work. Didn't have the money, didn't have the time. So I think sometimes the smaller budget movies actually allow more freedom and creativity, whereas your big budget movies come with pressure and they come with your studio suit going, you're burning $20 million a day, sunshine. You are not going to have, you know, you're not going to mess around with a 58th take. We're not bringing in, you know, we're not laying all those tracks. We haven't got time for that. Just crack on. And so I suppose it goes both ways.
It can. It does. But I mean, it's like, but the people like, you know, the greats, the Lucas, the Spielbergs, even Scorsese and stuff like that. It's like, they're so adept at, you know, rolling with it, figuring it out, doing it. Or I want it this way. I don't think that's right. Trust me. I want it this way. And they're willing to live with the consequences too. And that's what makes them great.
Well, if you get to see I saw some B-roll footage recently of Minority Report with the where Tom Cruise escapes from the police officers by grabbing onto the guy with the rocket pack and it goes up the side of the building.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was B-roll footage of Spielberg just figuring it out. And he's got Tom Cruise right there. You've got all the actors there. You've got the DP and everyone else. And he's like, well, all right, well, let's just put it here and let's just see if that goes all right and up there. And you can just see him working on it as you go. But God, that takes, if you don't mind me saying, balls of steel. Because again, you've got the money they're burning through. You know, you'd have to be Steven Spielberg. Oh, he is Steven Spielberg. Yeah. Oh, fair enough. You know, it takes some confidence to do that though, doesn't it? It would be like you building your house on the fly. You imagine going into the skeleton of the house and going, yeah, well, we'll chuck a wall there and we'll just stick the pipes there. And you wouldn't dream of it. And most directors wouldn't either. I mean, you know, famously Ridley Scott storyboards the whole thing. You know, he draws it all out. You know, he knows exactly what he's doing.
Zack Snyder said a lot of that. And he's like, he's been doing it since he started. And when he first started, I can't remember who the, I think it was a production designer or something like that. It's like, someday you won't be doing this anymore. And he goes, no, this is what I do. He has to visualize. He has to work it out. It's part of the process for people. So, All right. You want to get to some actual movies here?
Yeah. Man, I could talk all day about this stuff.
We have taken in some experiences from this week.
Oh, yes, we have indeed. Yeah.
All right.
Just before you do that, before we did it, because we mentioned about what we bought. And so people in the chat, so we've got Jordan says 8 he's bought this week, although he's now up that to 9. Because he bought 2 copies of Aquaman 2, Man After Your Own Heart, Teacher.
There you go.
Van Gaal, Carl Van Gaal slipping. Love it. Only 6th this week.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, cool. Honestly, like no, me. Well, absolutely.
Slow week.
I think that's it for numbers. Yeah. But I mean, you know, and again, we're not saying that you have to buy lots, you know, but it's just funny how these things happen. I get stressed if I buy loads of films and I don't see them. Yeah. So I literally will make time because I get like that pile there, you know, if there's stuff that I haven't seen, I start to get antsy if it's there and I haven't watched it. So, you know, not that it would stop me buying more.
I think this past year and all I've bought between just the show, and that's what I was going to say. These numbers are all before we did this show. So that number will probably go up by the end of the show for a lot of these people.
Myself
included.
Yeah, well, we've all done it.
The way things have gone for me, and I'm buying movies based on, you know, your experience, John's experience, listeners' experience, but I'm not having time. So they're just going onto the Kaleidoscape and sitting there. It's going to be years and we'll be talking about something and be like, I think I own that. Let me look. Yeah, I do. Way.
It's happened to me on Twitter as well this week. You know, someone puts up a thing, oh, it's the 25th anniversary. And I'm like, oh, do you know what? I don't think I've got that. I mean, one of the films we're going to talk about a little bit later. Exactly that happened to me.
As soon as we're
done
talking about what we're going to talk about.
So yeah, very cool. Very cool. Right. Anyway, sorry, I'll let you get to one of the experiences.
Here we go. You ready for this one? This is yours, Steve.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. I love Ralph Fiennes. Here we go.
Okie dokie. Did you say Ralph Fiennes, Deej?
Yeah, I did. That was bad.
It's Rafe Fiennes. You get very upset if you call him Ralph.
Who's got six for, you still got six for me up there on the.
Oh, have I? Oh, sorry. Forgive me.
Right. I was looking for where it was.
Yeah. Hide current comment. There we go.
There we go.
Look at that. And that's clever. Okay. So this is, it came up with a separate little thing to click on to say hide current comment. That's so cool. Oh, anyway, nice. Sad like that. Anyway, we will get to this film sooner or later. So this is the Ralph Fiennes starring The Menu, which I have talked about before on this show. But when I talked about it last time, it was on Disney Plus. So this is The Menu. Now, this is the Blu-ray. So 1080p and in DTS HD Master Audio with up next to Neuralex. And the reason is I gave up waiting for a 4K release, which I thought eventually would come. And a bit like The Last Voyage of the Demeter, it just seems to have kind of been and gone. And if you'll forgive the expression, there doesn't seem to be a lot of appetite for a 4K release. I've just thought of that, Deej.
You did not. You wrote that down last week.
Yeah, well, maybe. So it doesn't look like it's getting a 4K release. If it is, God knows when. And I did look and I genuinely thought, well, I'll see. But anyway, I gave up waiting. So I had to import this from the US because we don't seem to have even a Blu-ray of it over here. I don't even know if it's out on DVD in the UK. But anyway, so I imported it. Have you seen this?
No.
Okay. Yep. So, okay. Well, it's very, very good. And unusual movie. Yeah. It's an unusual film, but it's very good indeed. Essentially, briefly, a group of sort of fairly well-to-do people plus a couple of hangers-on, go to an exclusive island, and the island is essentially a restaurant that has been set up by Ralph Fiennes' character, who is a very, very, very world-renowned chef and promises an evening like no other. And so the first kind of, I don't know, half of the film maybe is just this fantastic passive-aggressive experience of various diners all kind of getting at one another. There's all these issues in between them, which is really good. And in the background, you've got the food being prepared and you've got Ralph doing his thing. Okay. And it very quickly, I just like that. Makes me laugh, right? Ralph, I think it's cool. So and as it goes on, you realize very quickly, all is not what it appears to be. And the second half of the film is very different. And I'm not going to say what, but it's well worth seeing. It's a great film. I really like this movie and I had a great time watching it again. This was only my second watch, but I loved it. So this, of course, first time in 1080p and DTS HD on physical media. It looks great and sounds great as well. within the confines of the film that it is. This is not an action movie. It's not a, you know, there's not explosions. There's no real, you know, kind of things like that. But what there is here sounds really good. So the sounds of the kitchen, you know, move appropriately. There are some sort of quite fun little things that happen with it. In terms of kind of, there are some characters that are running here and there and they all kind of pan across the screen. And it looks lovely. Now, the whole thing's very tongue in cheek as well. So there are kind of close ups of the various dishes that are served and they, you know, the food looks lovely. I'm not a foodie. Okay. As far as I'm concerned, cuisine peaked at the hamburger, but if you are a foodie and you love all this stuff, these lengthy kind of close ups on the food itself are, you know, look great and probably make you hungry. Not me, you know, I'd be like the dial McDonald's at the end of this, but you know, if you're someone that is a foodie, you'd get a kick out of it as well. So I think it's great. It's really, really fun. I mean, Bill absolutely nails it as well. Bill says a great statement on the way of over the top foodies. It is a satire. There's no question about that. It's a satire of the, of people who think food is the be all end all. But there's more to it. There's a social commentary in this as well. And it's also a really kind of, there's a black comedy here and also some nice, fun nastiness that is very deliberate and it's just great. So I absolutely recommend this. I think everybody is saying the same in here. No one's saying it's rubbish. Oh, and in fact, John Deitch saying, John Brockstar saying it's on sale on Kaleidoscape.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's well worth seeing. And it's a great fun movie. And again, this is one you could watch with Jen. You know, the other half, you could easily watch this with them for people in the, you know, listening or watching. And again, afterwards, I guarantee I think I said this last time we talked about it. There will be conversations almost certainly of, oh yeah, that's what you do. Yeah. You do that. You know, because it's a couple movie. There are definitely things in this that partners will talk about. So yeah, well worth seeing. It's not long. I think it's about an hour and 40. So it's not another 2.5 hour slog. It, you know, it's in and out. The other people in this, by the way, here we go. So how many is that now? The Deej, is that 9 this week?
I think that makes,
or is this for next week?
7 or 8. I don't know. Something like that. $14.99 on Kaleidoscape, 4K. HDR, Dolby Atmos, ka-ching, cake. Yeah, the case gate register just rang. That's right.
Deej's done it too. So Steve has done it too. So it's great fun and really fun. And also in this, we've got Nicholas Hoult, Anya Taylor-Joy is in it. And I mean, I don't think she ever puts a foot wrong. She's just magnetic in every film she's in. And she's great in this. John Leguizamo's in it as well. There are.
Oh, you know, really?
Characters. My wife loves him. Yeah, yeah. Now, interestingly, I read about this afterwards, and it's worth, when you first see it, thinking about it. He's playing a washed-up actor in this. He's one of these, you know, the foodies. And he says he based his performance in this on Steven Seagal. Now, not because of any kind of action stuff, but he was saying that apparently he had a bit of a run-in with Seagal on the set of Executive Decision. And he has based his performance in
that very long.
He was on the
set for about 5 minutes.
Yeah, it seemed to be, didn't he? So anyway, so that's apparently what he's done. So he's based it on that. Sorry, I'm having some issues with my monitor here, Deej. Sorry. So he's based it apparently on that, which I think is very interesting. Okay, right, plug that back in. So it's worth watching. And when you're watching it, have that in mind that he's trying to be Steven Seagal, not as an action star, but as a bit of an idiot. Yeah. Allegedly.
You
know, I haven't met him. I mean, obviously I know people that have met him and very few got good things to say about him. But so that's what Leguizamo is doing in this film. That's what he's doing. So it's great and you guys will really enjoy it. So when you get round to it, then give it a go. Oh, and it does look really nice. Again, that's quite a nice image. It does give you quite a good idea as to what it looks like. It's really, really decent. So, cool. I would definitely recommend that.
Cool. All right. Let's see. So next up, let's get into some updates. So when we last spoke, last Tuesday, we were progressing well onto the house, and we, so this, I'll bring it up here. This was last Wednesday. So what went on Wednesday here, if you, I'll give you a full screen. If you look at the picture on YouTube, you can see the shot of my house. What we did Wednesday was, you see up here, there's the, we framed out the chimney. I'm not sure if you guys saw the finished farmer's porch, but that's the farmer's porch finished and everything. So then from there, this is the back of the house. We started the deck on Wednesday. And then this is a look up into the chimney. So that's from my attic. So that's where the wood stove on our side will vent up through there. And that's where we were on Wednesday of last week now. And, but yeah, when we get to Thursday after your next one, well, you'll get to see, I got some fun stuff, but that was that. So,
okay. But I noticed you left it wide enough to get Santa down the chimney. So that's good news.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's yep. You could get Santa down there. That's for sure. It's like, I think it's
nice,
pretty wide opening. So, but yeah.
Okay.
So,
all right, nice. So we got just a couple of things in the chat indeed. So PF Productions, thanks for dropping by again, guys.
Oh, hey.
So just stop by to say, I watched Last Voyage of the Demeter based on Steve's recommendation. It wasn't just mine, in fairness, because indeed you
were raving
about it, same as I. Yeah. But it said
it
wasn't exaggerating. It's an absolute stunner in Atmos. So many epic sounding parts. Oh yeah. But it also looks great as well. That's the other thing with it. It's not just audio.
Yeah, when they're in the ship down on, underneath in the, whatever you call them. And it's like, but the stunner and Atmos, I think the best Atmos tracks are the ones like, Demeter or Gravity, where it's not just the noises, it's the lack of them. And when you hear the creaking of the ship and it's all around, I mean, it's those subtleties. And I got a couple of those coming up soon too.
What is that? So. And we spoke after the show of that, and we forgot to mention when we reviewed it, didn't we, about the knocking?
Yes.
So you get the knocking and it goes right to the back of the room and comes round again. So yeah, we forgot to mention that. We were talking about it afterwards and like, damn.
Yeah, a huge part of the story too. It's a huge part of the movie. And it's like, and they use that to like, and it was, I don't want to say it was subtle, but it was really the way it echoed and went down the sides, So. Really, really cool.
Such a good film. If anyone is listening who hasn't seen it, then genuinely, guys, give it a go. It is very cool. And then Paul Hurt says, I know someone that worships at the altar of Seagal, has made videos with him. Let's just say it's a bit odd. I mean, I know people those that might not know, I'm a black belt first dan in Aikido. He trained with the sensei at my dojo is an eighth dan. He's been doing this for over 50 years and he's trained with Seagal. And again, he does and have a nice thing to say about him. But, I'm sure he's a lovely person. I've not met him. But reports are varying. DJ, you seeing these numbers?
Yes, I am. Let's keep it on going.
Let's keep trucking. Keep on trucking.
Hey, I don't know why, but just being me.
Hey.
So, all right, you ready for this next one?
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, I haven't seen this.
I'm not sure how many people have seen this. Yeah, okay. All right. So this then is, again, poorly taken photos. Sorry, these 69 photos, man. It's all to the
great.
Side.
It's great.
Roger Deakins, I am not. Okay, so this is the Liam Neeson thriller called The Commuter. Now, Deej, have you seen this?
No. I feel like I may not have seen this one in particular, but I feel like I've seen this.
Do you know
am
what?
I wrong?
That is exactly how I had always viewed this film. I'd not seen it either until earlier this week when I bought the 4K disc. I bought this and a movie we'll talk about in a minute because it's a back catalog release. Now, having seen the poster, I never saw the trailer and I just thought it's another non-stop. It's another Taken. It's another neat Liam Neeson by the numbers action movie with the most generic bland title ever known to man, The Commuter. Why would I want to see that? And that's how I always kind of viewed it. It just kind of came and went.
Because I'm a huge Liam Neeson fan. So
Liam Neeson. Yeah. So I just figured it's just one of those. It's not.
Really?
It's not. Yeah. Now, this is a Hitchcockian, you know, careful how I say that, Hitchcockian sort of strangers on a train type thriller. Where he's not, again, I'm careful how I say it. Let's channel John.
Don't say Hitchdickian.
No one gets hit in the. Anyway, so but it's a thriller, and it's actually really good. And he plays it to Liam Neeson, whatever you want to call him. He's an insurance salesman. He's one of those.
Like, is it like nobody? Like, he has a set of skills.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. That's the thing. He gets his ass kicked repeatedly in this. He's actually not tough in this at all. Everybody kicks him around in this. Yeah.
I don't have any skills. I'm going to get killed.
The phone calls he makes in this where he just says, you know, I will find you, but only if you give me your address.
Right. Yeah. I will find you.
But could you give me your address? so he's an insurance salesman. He is an ex-cop, which is a little bit silly.
Oh, okay.
But he doesn't have any discernible skills. He makes lots of mistakes, lots of errors, and he gets his ass kicked repeatedly in this film. But what's interesting about this film is my life story. So he gets on the train one night going home, and a woman sits opposite him and says, "Can I ask you a question?" And she makes a proposition to him, not that kind of proposition.
Okay.
And says, I want you to do something for me and you will get money for doing it. Again, not that kind of proposition. And then the film then unravels as he accepts that offer. It doesn't really have much choice. And it then begins to unfold. I've got to say, I thought this was really good. Genuinely better than I could have dreamed it would be.
Right. Now
it's not taken or anything like that.
So, do you think your experience was enhanced by your low expectations? Not the theater.
Or the delivery system?
not the delivery system. Not that, but you know what I mean? Like sometimes you come into it going, how good could this be? And you're like, and that's what's dangerous for guys like you and me. We come on here and we're so excited about something. Then they all come in with different expectations. Now they have our like, wow, they loved it. And they come in and go, it wasn't that good. Now you see what I mean? So like, John and I do that all the time. We'll come in with different expectations, but when you hash it out, you realize we think exactly the same of the movie, but one's disappointed and the other one's excited.
Well, the reason I bought this is because, again, Twitter, weird. You know, I saw a number of people saying that film's really good. And I thought, oh, it can't be. It's bloody Commuter. It sounds awful. And I looked on IMDb and sure enough, it's got a fairly decent rating on that. And I thought, well, it's cheap. It was £6 on 4K, brand new. And I thought, well, for that, it's worth it. And there were no big releases out that week. You seeing those numbers, Deej? So I bought it. And as I said, it's really good. This is a much better movie than such a bland title leads you to believe it would be. This movie's been undersold and poorly marketed. It's been marketed as a Taken non-stop, you know, kind of movie. And it's not that at all. It is very, very Hitchcockian thriller. What would you do if? And it's quite claustrophobic. So anyway, so as a movie, I recommend this, although it was great. Now, the video, it's 4K UHD. Sorry if I didn't say that. It's in Dolby Atmos, I think, or is it DTS HD? No, I think it's DTS HD 5.1, in fairness. I think it is. But up next to Neuralex. The video on it is really, really nice as well. It's been shot digitally. It is razor sharp. And there are some lovely close-ups. There's a very clever thing at the beginning of the film where it kind of tries to establish, a bit like the beginning of Nobody, it tries to sort of establish this everyman. Every day is the same, does the same thing, day in, day out. And it ends with some nice close-ups where you can see every wrinkle on his face, every kind of little detail. You can even see the blood vessels in his eyes. You know, it's razor sharp. And it's like that throughout. It does kind of belie some of the CG a little bit later on, but not in a really bad way. And it sounds very nice as well. And there are a couple of scenes, and I'm wary of kind of giving too much information, but there are a couple of scenes in which involve the train itself where you get really good bass, really good surround stuff. And there are a couple of very clever little moments where, oh, it is Atmos. All right. Thanks, yep. Spangle. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate that. Sorry. I must admit, I thought it was HDR10, but I'm sorry, HDR10. I thought it was DTS HD, but no, it must be Atmos. And that makes sense because it's a very cleverly done film. And there are a couple of nice moments, DJ, that you'll appreciate if and or when you get to this. Where the camera
I'm looking at
starts.
It here at 1999 HDR Dolby Atmos, and I'm like, I know I'm not going to see it though.
Well, there's a couple of nice moments. Let me whet your appetite, then, dude. All right, let's see if we can build you up to your ka-ching. So, there's a couple of very nice moments, at least that I noticed, where the camera starts outside this train, and the most of the film is set on the train, obviously. And the camera starts outside, so you've got all of the outside sounds. And without cutting, the camera goes in through the train window without a cut and then stops inside. So you get the change in
environment,
environment and atmosphere as you go into the train. And it is very interesting how it goes from a really wide soundscape to suddenly all claustrophobic and all right there. You're right there. And it's a really clever little thing that if you're not watching this on a surround rig that like we would be and everyone in the chat would be, you would miss it because it wouldn't really, it wouldn't mean anything. But for us, we get that effect and it's really cleverly done and so subtle, but very cool. So you get that, but you also then get the bombast. There are a couple of really big action scenes where you're like, whoa. So I 100% recommend this. This is great. And if you can get it for £6, as you can here, then you're kind of crazy not to, because it looks great, sounds great, and is actually a really decent movie. But whether it's worth $19.99,
$19.99.
It's sitting
there. Omar just popped in.
Yeah. Hey, Omar. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, man. It's all good to see you. Let me just double check. Did I need to know whether this is Atmos here or not? I think it is. I think it is, but I don't want to give people the wrong idea. I've got it on my my movies. Again, talk amongst yourselves.
It's talking. I'm sitting here. Oh,
yeah,
I'm like,
yeah. Dolby Atmos. Think, yeah, it is. Yeah, oh, it's good. It is good. And as I said, it's more. You know, it's more in terms of Liam Neeson films. It's more The Grey than, you know, Taken 14. You know, it's or Nonstop or any one of those kind of generic films. It's a well done movie. This is someone, a director and a film crew that have tried to give you something different. Like this. So yeah, Paul Hertz says an homage to The Passenger. I mean, I think this is more Strangers on a Train. I think it's more kind of wearing this Hitchcock thing on its sleeve blatantly, even with the Dutch angles, you know, you get kind of those close ups and the off kilter angles. But still, I mean, The Passenger, fair enough. So yeah, I do recommend it. $14.99 on Amazon. Oh, have you done it? Have you done it, Deej? Have I talked long enough? Oh man. Password. Don't do that, Deej. Let's not see your password.
It doesn't put it up. So
yeah, you're okay. Oh, good man. You will. I think we'll get a 4K kick out of that.
Confirmed. There you go.
Oh man, nice.
Put it right on this. There we go. Thank you for purchasing.
So you've got Taken 2 on there. If you've got Taken 2 and Taken 3, then you absolutely owe it to yourself to get this. Because Liam Neeson is a good actor and he's done some great stuff, but he's also done some dross. But this isn't one of those. So I'm pleased to say. Oops. Yeah.
I'm losing my images here.
Paul says there, so The Passenger was famous for the one shot where the camera goes through the window. Oh, there we go. Okay. I mean, obviously it's been done here with CG, but it's really clever. The sound design, and Paul, you're a sound guy. I know you are.
Yeah.
This is something that is really cleverly done and it's very deliberate and it doesn't just do it once. It does it a couple of times. Plus, as I said, some very big action scenes, which I don't want to talk about because I don't want to spoil it. So yeah, very, very cool. Cool. Francis is in as well. Hey, Francis. Yeah. Hey,
Francis,
buddy.
Just popped in. He's saying, hi, everyone. Are you guys early today or are the clocks moved forward? Yes, we moved our clocks forward a week ago. So between us and Europe right now, we're an hour closer together for the time being. When do you set your clocks ahead?
End of the month, last weekend of the month. So it'll be not this weekend after.
Yeah,
so great, Deej. I like this. This is bright side by twilight, not bright side by moonlight, which is what I'm used to. So it's all good. Hence why I'm so excitable.
So it's crazy.
Are we gonna
just keep on rolling. If it goes, it goes. I know what you're talking about, buddy. I know what you're talking about.
I think there's got to be some sort of celebratory noise if it does.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, there we go. It's oh my god, what do I do?
don't streak.
Anybody watching on YouTube, you're probably seeing it for the time being. But anybody on Friday, listen to the audio only. We just topped 100 viewers. Back down to 98.
I didn't like the sound effect.
You know, we just topped 100 viewers for the first time on YouTube. So, hey, thanks, everybody. There's no way there's 100 people chatting right now. So if you're out there and you're just watching, say hi in the chat because it's great conversations going on. So.
Paul says also, yeah, there are some other people in there. So, also in the commuter. So Liam's decent value, Sam Neill and Florence Pugh. Yeah, they're not in it for very long. No. This is one of those movies where it's and Sam Neill, but yes, pivotal roles.
Guest
and well worth seeing. That's it. Tune in next week.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Here's a fun update on the house. This was amazing. I got a quote. For my roof, right? To have it shingled. This was way back when. I think I've told you the story where it's like literally sent me into a panic. We had a local company, around our town, and they gave us quotes for the roof and the siding. And they came in at $25,000 to just to roof the house. And I'm like, that seems like a lot. 'Cause my buddy just had his replaced down to the studs because he had a mold issue for 13. So I'm like, what? So I was starting to get upset because if everything's going to be over, and when I say upset, panicky, if everything was going to be over like this because I'm me and it's like I'm not a builder, and this is what led me to go into my buddy that is a builder, and he's like, no, use my guys. Well, this one here is I bought the shingles myself. So I got them at my buddy's price. And then my brother-in-law is like, I know this company. They're great. They do great work. They show up. And now here's the image. And now I know the timestamps. You're not going to be able to see them on YouTube. This is at exactly 7:20 in the morning Thursday. Okay. 7:20 in the morning. They just pulled in. This guy is on the roof. He got out of the passenger seat, shook my hand, said hi. And he's like, we're going to get going. I'm like, okay. So I came up here to take this picture. They're unloading 6 minutes later. This is at 7:26. The front of the house is fully staged. Look at them. 6 minutes. They're on the roof. Are you kidding me? 6 minutes. They all get out of this van. They just went boom. So, another buddy of mine stopping off. I had to go to work. I did some work until about 9 o'clock, head off to work. My buddy that's getting me the garage doors, he's going to drop off some swatches of the colors we want. And he texts me at 1 o'clock and he goes, I'm going to leave them on your farmer's porch. And I go, well, you can see what the farmer's porch looks like. I go, you might want to tuck them inside. The roofers are there. And he goes, I just left them. There aren't any roofers. They finished this by 12:30. So there you go.
Wowzers. Oh my gosh. Look at that.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah. 'Cause the picture's taking a little time to load in. So it looked all flat and gray, but you can see the shingles now. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And it's like, and that's the back, the full back. And it's like they just went boom. Just right across, did the whole thing. I got the bill for it. All right. It cost me $7,000 for the shingles. They billed me for the labor, $3,300.
Oh, wow.
Less than half.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Way less. Yeah.
Way less. So I was like, oh, I'm like, why can't everything be like this?
That's it. So, did you immediately ask them if they do any other work?
No, they actually told me. They gave me a quote for doing the siding too. So okay. I might use them if they come in at the extreme lowest or if everybody goes crazy. But yeah, now I'm watertight now, baby. I'm like, let it rain.
Really good.
Yeah,
it's looking awesome. Yeah. What's going to go around the chimney then, Deej? What's going to go around
stone,
there?
I'm going to do it in stone. The same stone that I'm doing around the fireplace.
Cool.
Yeah, I was supposed to have gone and picked that out, but then we got busy and I got to go and pick it out and buy it. Doesn't take a lot to do that. It's like, you know, I don't know how many square feet, but it'll be pretty easy to do. I did it like 20 years ago. It's like Legos. You just plaster it up there, but it'll look good.
Man, it's looking amazing. Wow.
Thanks.
And again, it looks ginormous.
Yeah, I know. I drive by now, and the other thing that makes it look big is the 9-foot walls, because we have 9-foot walls on the house. So, and what's funny is we did that because it literally is small inside. This is for two families for all intents and purposes, my parents' side and our side. So it's not huge inside, but when you get a higher ceiling, which costs you literally next to nothing, it's like a foot extra per board, you know, so it's like just to make it taller isn't really a big deal. And it's like, but it just gives you that inside. It's more spacious because you have more area over your head. So.
Well, you need room for that.
DJs. Yeah.
Well, you need room in the attic for your bowling alley and your podcast studio. So,
archery lane. Yeah.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Is it shooting range?
Multiple people tell me this is a shooting range. They're like, this is a shooting range. And I'm like, I know. I go put up some hay bales. There's no noise. I'm not shooting guns. I love shooting. So. Yeah,
I get it. It's going to be, you know, I'm envisaging Lethal Weapon, you know, the smiley face coming back down the range.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Yeah. Let's just say hi. We've got someone new. So Rick, Top 40 Hub. That's cool. So hi, guys. Enjoying the movie chat from Vancouver.
Oh, in Vancouver. Hey, Rick. Nice.
Yeah.
Rick.
Yeah, thanks for dropping by, Rick. Hub.
Yeah, he's in Rob H's territory. He's up in that nice area. Yeah, nice. That's Rob H from AV Rant.
Yeah.
Nice. All right. Trust me, there is some nice home theater news coming on my home theater. That is, I should say, but let's get to another great home theater experience. At least I'm sorry. I don't want to ruin it for you, Steve. I don't want to steal your thunder or maybe lack thereof.
No. It's all good. Okay, so this, again, is another one. I've got a number of them this week where the name of the movie does not appear on the screen because they've got moving menus and they just, for reasons I can't fathom, it doesn't say it.
Yeah.
So this is Angel Has Fallen on 4K UHD disc in Dolby Atmos. And this is one, Deidre, I think you've done this one. I think you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I talked about it like I think a year ago, roughly. Yeah.
I don't think I was on the show though when you did it, did you? I think it was Hunter Killer we were talking about then, wasn't it?
Yeah, we definitely did that. But I did that. Yeah. I talked about this on the show in, I think it was March of last year. I think.
Okay. I must have missed that.
You were on the show then. It's like, but you know, you can't listen to everything I say, Steve.
Well, I try not to.
But I did watch, I did take it in again. I was able to take it.
Oh,
again.
Nice.
So let's go. What did you think? Okay. Now, have you never seen it in 4K? Did you see it in 4K?
No. Now prepare to be disappointed, Deidre. All right. Ready? Brace yourself. Okay. This story has a happy ending. All right. But I first saw this film, on streaming on, back to the commuter. First saw this film on streaming on a, my gym. So I was doing a workout and I had it on the treadmill and I had it on the TV. I've got a 40-inch TV on the wall in the gym. And so I watched this film on the treadmill with headphones on and, you know, noise
canceling. A while ago, not this week, right?
No, years ago. Yeah, whatever it was, a couple of years back. Yeah. So I watched it then and I remember thinking, it's a bit generic and a bit silly and a bit, you know, the delivery system did not enhance it on that occasion.
The bad guy's kind of a crappy delivery system.
Well, that's it. You know, it's the bad guy straight away and it's all like, okay, fine. And I really like the first one. I think the first one of this, Olympus Has Fallen is a classic that I think has been forgotten I think it's one of the best Die Hard clones that there are. It's really, really good, and some great lines in that movie that I can't repeat on air. Right. Some really good, you know, good lines. The second one is not great. London Has Fallen is not good. And then this one, so, you know, fine. So anyway, so I bought the 4K disc because, again, it was cheap. And this is another one that I bought at the same time as The Commuter because I was trying to get a couple of discs for just cheap. I had some money. I thought, well, I will. So I watched it again. And I did enjoy it a lot more now seeing it properly. So the delivery system did enhance it this time.
Oh, yeah.
So seeing it in, you know, Cinema George, sound up, Dolby Atmos, you know, the full thing. It was better. It's not a great film, but it is a good film and I did enjoy it.
It's a fun home theater movie. Absolutely.
Exactly that. Yeah. Now that it definitely is. And, you know, it looks great. Someone who has dropped in from time to time, Ross on Twitter. He'd asked me, you know, let me know what it's like. So I did take some photos and I put those photos up on Twitter as well. So if anyone really wants to see, get an idea of to what it looks like, not just that, the menu shot, then if you go onto my Twitter feed, it's there. And it looks great. It's nice inky black. It's kind of really detailed. Some lovely close ups again of old Jerry B there. And he's got quite a craggy face these days and all that comes across really well. It looks good. It is a stylized movie though. So there are some focus things, you know, there's some soft focus stuff, but it's very deliberate, it seems. And it looks really good. And it sounds great. It's never quite, I don't think, never gets as deep as, you know, your Lucy's, your Dunes or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it still has some really decent bass and some nice surround stuff. I mean, obviously the drone attack sequence is the one that everyone thinks of with this movie. So, you know, the little things zipping around and buzzing around and they do go right round the room and they swarm quite nicely around the room and they go overhead and they go right round, which is all good. So that was really nice. And you know, when the guns fire and the explosions go, you feel some of that. Again, not room shatteringly, you know, moving bass, but still good. And for this kind of movie, it's what you want. So it's not going to rearrange your house. It's not going to annoy the neighbors or, you know, or anyone else that might be in the house, but it's still a great time while it's on. And yeah, I recommend it. I thought this was good. And again, for what I paid for it, which I think was about £12, I think it was, for about $15, it, you know, I was happy with that. And it will take, you know, some part of my collection. It's there and will remain there. And I look forward to watching it again at some point in the future.
Yeah.
So what did you think, Deej?
Oh, I love it. It's like I said, it's a great home theater movie. It's got, I mean, people are talking on the chat already, the drone scene. Yeah. And that comes at about 20 minutes in, and it's just like Jordan's talking about it, Steve Att's talking about it. It's like it's Zombie Russ. Zombie Russ was actually talking about it too. So that scene right there, I remember seeing that in the theater and being like, this is going to be awesome at home.
Yeah.
Those drones and the way it's like that, it's so you get the almost like a white noise type situation of the drones coming at you, but then you do get the deep, crisp explosions, right? So it's like, like you said, that it's not as deep as some other movies, but when you have the contrast of the other sounds going overhead using the, you know, the overheads, super active, but it's like you get the explosions going on around, and the blackout scene. With the, you know, the blackout scene with the news report all around. It's awesome sounding stuff.
Yeah, that's at the beginning, isn't it?
The opening of this movie too, though. It's a demo where it's like a push play and demo, right? Yeah. And it's like, you know, the helicopters flying, all of that stuff. It's just, if you haven't seen it before and you're just like, you know, make sure your system's on, make sure it's all like turned up right at the beginning, because this is one of those like, hey, you want to try this out? And you just push play and real nice gunfight. So really nice demo scene. What was it, an hour in or so? The tunnels, Nick Nolte, that one.
Yes.
Yeah. and then him and Gerard Butler are awesome. They're like, get him getting aggravated with him and stuff. And, so good. And then you said, like you said, not Lucy, but I thought the bass was so well done because you could tell the different types of gunshots in the different scenes. Mm-hmm. So there was different depth to the, it wasn't just like bang, 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 bang. It was like you could hear all the different guns being used, especially in that final battle, right? And it's echoing. You got different guns being fired. There's a lot to take in. And it was, I mean, I wish I could have written stuff down, but it's, I was just happy to be able to take it in.
Well, it just didn't feel like it. You never feel the whole room going. That's what I mean by kind of, it's not deep bass, but it is, but for the movie, it's exactly what you'd want. I mean, I think this is 100% in our rooms. The experience that the director and the filmmakers wanted you to have.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think they want you to, you know, be feeling it right in your bones.
Right.
Cause there's so much of it. I don't think that would work, but yeah, no, for the movie that it is, it's, you know, it works perfectly. Yeah. And a great buy at, you know, relatively cheap price these days. It is definitely well worth picking up. Although we've got some disagreement in the chat because, Dom says Olympus Has Fallen is better. I'm with you, Dom. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we've got Jordan is saying this is the most entertaining in the Fallen franchise and always laugh at the final scene with Gerard Butler and Nick Nolte. And then we've got Paul Hurt, who is referring obliquely to a podcast over here. And, Paul, I'll just say hello to Jason Isaacs. Just so he knows that I know what he's on about. As a British in joke.
Okay.
So yeah. Yeah, but really good, really, really good. And well worth picking up again. If you haven't seen it, if you want to, you know, we were talking about all the movies we're buying this week, but if you want to spend your money on something that's now a cheaper price and you want a bit of some entertainment, you could do much worse than this.
Oh yeah. We have.
Yeah. Well, you speak for yourself. I still haven't seen Hurricane Heist.
Oh man. Oh yeah. Oh, come on.
John Thompson on Twitter this week said it was, you know, absolutely, you know, awesome.
I don't, Hurricane I mean, Heist? I don't know. Did he?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he nice. Did. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't know that.
I can't.
it is. I mean, it is. Yeah. Leave your brain at the door. It's Moonfall level. It's not Moonfall. It's not as bad as Moonfall, but there's some stuff that you go, no. Uh-uh.
See, what was the film with, what was the one that had Morgan Freeman and Christian Slater in it? And Morgan Freeman was a bad guy, but Hard Rain, was it? It's kind of the same sort was of thing maybe? Where you get a kind of hurricane comes in or something and there's flooding and they rob a bank while it's all going on. And that's dreadful. And I just, Hurricane Heist kind of makes me think of that. So it's kind of like, I can't get my my juices flowing to want to see it. but then again, I would have said that this time last week, Deej, if you said, oh, The Commuter with Liam Neeson, I'd have said, oh God, that's going to be dreadful. So, you know, maybe it's one of those you just need to pick up.
Steve, you just got to push play and hope for the best.
Yeah. Don't say that yet. It's not the end.
I know. all right. Let's, I actually, we got a quick house update and then I actually have, some updates from another show I've been, or from, more home theater experiences. Let's go with that. All right. So here we are. This is Friday. What we did on Friday, we did finished, well, the decking that, you know, Robbie and his guys and myself were doing. This is as far as we get. And that's the deck right now. And then I'll finish the deck off with, you know, putting the decking on top and doing the railings and all that. So they were able to help me out and be able to do all of this. And this was literally their last day there. They're on to another job this week and I am now on my own. So it's all, and just to let you know how, like, it's one thing when I tell people like, oh yeah, my brother-in-law did this and they say, that's great. Oh yeah, he did a great job, right? Cause they know he's my brother-in-law. So they're trying to say a compliment. The contractors coming through here don't know who the framer was, don't know how I know my framer. And like I had the concrete guy in yesterday and about doing the basement floors in the garage and he's just inspecting, like he's just walking around and he's like, this is amazing. This is what an amazing job. He goes, this house is so tight. It's like everything is perfect. And it's so funny because my, Robbie, my brother-in-law, he's like, you want everything tight. You want it nice. You got to do this. And he's like, he stresses so much on his workers, on myself. It's everything has to be, cause it's got his name on it. Right. And it, what I thought was cool, I told my son, I'm like, we're going through the house and he's pointing stuff out and some of it's stuff I did. But yeah, it's like, I only did it because Robbie told me to do it this way, right? So it's like, but it's just a very he's just very meticulous framer. And like these posts here as an example, if you look at them on YouTube here, it's like they are anchored in, I don't know if you can, you can't really see, but the bolts that he has and the way he framed around the base of these posts, they are like rock solid. He walked, the concrete guy walked out. He goes, look at this. These things are amazing. And he's like trying to wiggle it and it won't move. And he's like, he does awesome quality work, awesome stuff.
So if you're putting the deck out the back there, Deej, what's going in the yard? Are you putting in a pool again like you've got now? Or is that going to be kind of, cause there's a lot of room there.
Yeah. It's like, so if you're looking at it from the backyard here, yeah, you see there's a lot of room. If you look at it this way, yes, I have tons of room. And if in the future, if funds provide, I would love a pool. Not like the one I have now. I would do a long, like thin pool, like 10 feet wide and like 60 feet long. So I could do laps and
do
a nice lap pool behind the house here. And it's something you could sit around in the summer, but that's such a long shot. You know, it's like, I mean, the pool I have now is 40, but it's wider and it's got it's got diving board. It's more for like full entertainment for everybody. And nobody uses it but me. So it's like, I'll use it, you know, the first few years I had it, I was opening it this time of year because it was heated and I get in it and I'd be swimming until November every morning before work or something. So,
where is the salamander pond going, Deej? Have we worked that out?
Shush. So, but for this week for Daredevil, I have some scenes for you. Okay. So let's get to these. What's that?
Moat.
Moat. Yeah, exactly. Oh, that's a good idea. I could just do laps all the way around the house. That'd be perfect. Just keep on going.
That's what Paul said.
Literally, do laps in one of those. Yep. So this week, watching Daredevil every morning, I'm on season two, and the first scene that I have is season two, episode four, Penny and Dime at the 50-minute mark. Thinking of our buddy Carl, thunder rolls. So they're in a bar and it's raining outside and you can hear it. Now this is all upmixed because this is still 5.1, like PCM 5.1 on, it was originally on Netflix. Atmos wasn't out at the time. They weren't putting anything out in Atmos. At least not the shows. And, it does. It sounds really, really good. But then the same scene transitions out into the rain and it's a scene with Karen and Matt Murdock and they're having a conversation. But Matt, it's like, you know, that their relationship is starting to flourish a little bit and he's focusing on her voice and being a blind person and what they did with the audio here. And this is at 55 minutes and 50 seconds. It's on Disney Plus. It won't ruin the story for you if you just jump to it and listen to this, but it's what they did is they left her breathing. You'll hear her breath crystal clear at the front of the room, but they quote blurred all the other sounds. So like, it's the only way I could think of it. It's like anybody that has kids, if you're ever in a crowded place and you hear your kid yell to you from a distance, everything else kind of just blurs away and you focus on that because it's a safety thing. Our brains are, you can be attuned to that stuff. Well, that's what he was doing to her and the way they use that around the room. And yes, our systems are upmixing this, but you can't upmix crap. it has to have been mixed well in the first place. And the fact that you hear, like, you can totally tell that, like, he's focusing on her breath in that scene. And it just, it's, these are the subtle things. Like we said before, it's not bombastic. It's not, and they have that in this, you know, of course, but these scenes are awesome. Another scene similar to that, up to, let's jump to episode 7. Semper Fidelis. Wind Breeze. I forget the, oh man, I don't know what the timestamp was in that. I will get that. But they're in a vacant building. I think it was also 50 minutes, if I remember right. They're in a vacant building and just hearing the noises around. So it's vacant, but kind of like open to the outside. So like you, it's like a, you know, like not a condemned building. Maybe it was. I don't know. But you could hear the wind moving all around. And if you're not listening at reference level, it's probably going to just sound like pink noise, right? Like, mm-hmm. which I had mentioned earlier. It's like just go. But when you raise, when you listen at a high volume, like the reference level, you hear the subtleties and the textures and it, instead of just being like at a lower level where you go, like, you know, there's wind in there, raise it up and you get the, and it moves around you as well. So that's another one. I'll have to get the stamp for it, but. It's really, really cool. And like I said before, I can't stress enough. It's like, if you've never seen this, they are coming out with another season. So you may want to get caught up if you've never seen it. But yeah, it's really, I'm really enjoying this, and the picture, awesome. And the sound, you know, having been so long since I've seen it, in completely different system now. Different technology than when I saw it before. So really, really cool. So that's my Daredevil update. Oh, also on the Daredevil update, I started watching Jessica Jones as well. So, and that's really good. I'm only 2 episodes into that one. So
see, I never finished that season 1 of that. I never finished Jessica Jones. Yeah. I thought David Tennant was kind of OTT in that. I was finding it a bit difficult and I never finished it. So I, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. John and I talked about it briefly. He liked it too. We both liked it. Mm. And it was funny. We were saying, like, that came out in 2015, right before season 2 of Daredevil, after season 1. And I swear, I said to John, I'm like, I swear we had conversations about this, but we weren't doing the show at the time. So I know I talked, but, and he was like, well, I'm sure you talked, but I'm like, I know I had specific conversations about specific scenes. And it's kind of like, obviously 5-4 years before I even started this podcast, but like why I started this podcast, because I'm like, these shows are awesome. Like, who can I talk to about this stuff? So funny.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Daredevil 1 and 2. I think we said before, I've seen season 1 and 2 and I've got them on Blu-ray. And I need to go back and rewatch them. Daredevil season 2 is where the Punisher comes in, isn't it? That was season 2.
Yeah, that's season 2 and it's all leading up to Defenders, the Punisher season 1, all that. But yes, it is very good. And it's like, yeah, it's, I forgot like how much it go, you know, but it is, it's, you know, yes, I have seen it all before, but you forget the details when it's been, these came out, 9 years ago? No more?
Well, if you think about the amount of Marvel series that have come out since, both good and bad, you know, I mean, trying to keep track of it's, you know, very difficult.
Yeah.
Let alone the different creative teams involved. I mean, when the Netflix shows were done, it's an entirely different creative team to those that then came in to do the Marvel shows in the MCU. Yeah. And indeed the creatives that are working on Daredevil Born Again are a different team again. So it's all kind of very, very different takes on the same material. So yeah, trying to keep track of it all is very, very tough.
Yeah. But I'm enjoying it.
And again, people are saying on Jessica Jones, I mean, I know most people loved it. I mean, Paul's saying, you know, really love season 1, later seasons not so much. And Van Gogh saying, I like David Tennant in it, huge Doctor Who fan. Yeah, I don't know. I just found it a little bit, just I don't know. I it was a little bit of a drain. I thought David Tennant was kind of overacting in it. And I did see most of it. I think I'm only a couple of episodes off the end, and I just never yeah. went back to it. But, you know, there it is. I was like that with a lot of those shows. Daredevil kind of kept my attention. But even The Punisher, I mean, I really thought John Bernthal was great. And yet I never finished that season as well, the first season of that.
John and I were doing our show. We were doing chat with season two of Punisher. We did Jessica Jones season three. I liked season three of Jessica Jones. I liked season two of Punisher. I didn't like the ending. I said it on the show at the time. I thought it was a little bit like more like a character type deal. Like I thought it was weird. I didn't like the ending of season two, the ending scene. It was weird. And John and I talked about that back then, but I mean, I like the character. I like John Bernthal.
Yeah, he's great as the Punisher. I think he's one of the best on-screen Punishers there have been. I mean, you've got Ray Stevenson and Thomas Jane, and then obviously, that was it. It was wasn't there one back in the '90s? So he is very, very good in that role. But yeah, I found that some of these series were just started to have a lot of filler in them, and I just kind of fell off.
Yeah.
But never mind.
Yeah. Oh, well.
There's time to go back.
Are you ready for your, what is this, your last one?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. All right, here we go. We still got time, plenty of time. Here we go.
Yeah. Okay, so this is True Grit. Careful how I say it. True Grit, which is on Blu-ray. So 1080p Blu-ray in 5.1 DTS HD Master Audio. Again, as we always say, upmixed to Neural X. Now, Deej, have you seen this?
Oh, yeah. Saw it in the theater.
Yeah. Okay,
I haven't seen it at home, but I've seen it in the theater.
Okay. Well, this is another one of those movies. This is the one I was talking about earlier where someone on Twitter this week said, oh, True Grit for whatever reason. And I suddenly remembered this film and thought, do you know what? I haven't got this film. So I bought it on Blu-ray. It was quite hard to come by, but I got it and, you know, it arrived Monday. So yesterday. Yeah. I think it was, might have been Saturday. I don't know. Someday this week. And now this was the second time I'd seen it. The first time I saw it, and it came out in 2010. I saw it not long after its release. It was at home. I didn't see it in the theaters. What I don't remember is how I saw it. So I don't know if it was, I mean, it must have been on Blu-ray because streaming in 2010 was non-existent. And I wouldn't have rented the DVD, so it must have been on Blu-ray, but I don't remember it. It would have been in the old house and the old cinema room and a small screen, pretty much. And I remember when I saw it then, not particularly enjoying it. This is the thing. So at that time, I don't think I was in a Western frame of mind. I don't think I was on that kind of kick. And so I didn't kind of get what all the fuss was about. And I've forgotten large amounts of it. And so this is why, until this week, I'd never bought it.
Oh.
So I just didn't think about it, kind of forgot about it. Just that was that.
So I actually did see this in my theater a long time ago. And I just remembered something, but go ahead.
Yeah. So this week I thought, well, you know, I've seen many, many Westerns since. I like the genre. I'm older, more sensible, and obviously watching it in a much better environment. So I watched it again this week. And it's not a long film. You always kind of imagine Oscar botherers to be very long films. But this one's only an hour and 40. It's not a lengthy movie. And I'm very pleased to say I thoroughly enjoyed it. Enjoyed it this time around. This is a really, really good film. I mean, all over the box, it says masterpiece. And I mean, I'm not quite sure I'm there yet, but I'm not far off. It was very, very good indeed. And I enjoyed it way more second time around. And I'd forgotten so much of this movie that it's nice to kind of experience it this way. And I've got to say, you know, Hayley Steinfeld is just, I mean, she's a force of nature. Yeah. But apparently she was only nominated for Best Supporting Actor.
Yeah.
Not for, you know, lead actor. Lead. How has she not got the lead in this? I do not know. She's in basically every scene.
Yeah.
So I don't get how Bridges was nominated for Best Actor and she gets nominated for Best Supporting Actress, which just seems wrong to me. But anyway, a long time ago. but she's fantastic in this film.
She
absolutely
stole it.
Fantastic. She did.
I saw this on a rainy day by myself. You know, I was like, oh, let me go see this. And my daughter at the time, so this was what, 2010, I think you said?
Yeah.
Is that what it was? 2010, yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. So my daughter at the time is 11, a little younger than what, you know, Haley's portraying here.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And my daughter to this day is that strong firecracker that you like. Just, if she had a gun in her hand, don't go near her.
Like, well, not if I caught her the trench, I'm not going to. No.
Exactly. she takes nothing from anybody, right? Mm-hmm. And I was just watching this movie and I couldn't help but see similarities in the two of them. But Haley, she is I remember walking out of that theater, I remember telling my wife when I got home, I'm like, you got to see this movie. It's, I don't think she ever did. But Haley Steinfeld is amazing in this. The thing I barely remember, but I do remember seeing it at home because I loved it so much. Mm. And I don't know what your experience was like. You could tell us in a second, but I do remember the gunshots were effing amazing in this. I remember hearing them at home and being like, wow. And this was so long ago. This was before I had my SVS speakers, subwoofers, you know, so I can't even imagine what they're like today.
Yeah. Well, we can get on to that. I mean, I think the movie's great. I love the cadence. I love the dialogue. I like now none of us know how they spoke in the 1880s. None of us really know. You know, obviously there's no one alive today that would have been there and could say, but this sounds like what you imagine it would have sounded like. The way they talk, the vernacular they use, the way they deliver the dialogue. It's either, you know, bang on the money, or it's just a massive kind of, it's all just genre specials, but I love the way they talk, and there's an almost a Shakespearean quality to some of the line delivery. So I had a great time with that. And it took me a few minutes to get Jeff Bridges, you know, to understand what he was saying. But once I'd done that, I was fine. And Barry Pepper's great as he comes along towards the end. And again, it's just so cleverly done. So yeah, movie's great. Really enjoyed this, and I'll be watching this a lot. Jordan. So yeah, same personally, the vision of True Grit helps show recently made remakes can be great. They can. Yeah. And in this case, they are. So it's great. So in terms of the video, 1080p, but it looks fantastic. Bear in mind Roger Deakins' cinematography. So of course the thing has been shot within an inch of its life. And there is a lovely little bit. The very first time you see the town, I don't know if it's ever given a name. If it is, I missed it. But there was a shot where you've got the train goes left to right, and the shot begins with the train. So as the train goes left to right, it moves across, and that then reveals the town. And there's a little push in of the camera, and you realize how big the town is and the amount of things going on and all the hustle and the bustle and everything else. And that's a Deakins shot all day long, and it looks absolutely incredible. And as soon as that begins, you're thinking, oh, I'm in for a treat here. And you are. It looks great. And just all the detail in the costumes, everything is, I mean, I was mesmerized by Barry Pepper's cut lip, and he's kind of like, he's got all these really bad teeth and everything else. And as you're kind of looking at that, it's mesmerizing in its grossness. So it's great. And it looks so good. And again, the night, there are some nighttime scenes where the shadows are exactly as you want to be. It's never too dark. It's never too bright. It's no gray. It's black as it should be. I mean, I can only imagine how good this would look in 4K, with proper HDR pass. It'd look amazing, but it's still very, very good. Now, audio. The gunshots are good. I mean, and again, they sound like kind of you'd imagine these things would sound in real life. Someone has had a go here, the sound designer, at replicating what they should sound like. Now, it's not, you know, they're not super deep, but they do sound really good. And again, they sound like what you'd imagine they do. I don't think, by the way, in real life they do. I suspect in real life it was just a popping sound like a firecracker. All right. I think I've never fired a Western, pistol, but I suspect it's a popping noise rather than a boom, but you do get those booms in this. So they do sound good. And there is one particular sequence where, Jeff Bridges' character, Rooster Coburn, fires a gun down a well, a mine. Shouts down the mine, and you get the echo going right down the room, right into the background. Oh. And then he shoots down the mine as well. And that goes right down and past you into the back of the theater, which is very cool. So that's a really nice scene. You get some overhead stuff with some rain effects. There's some bits and pieces. It looks great, sounds great for an older Blu-ray. And I really do recommend it. This was dirt cheap as well, if you'll forgive the expression, with grit. But it was very cheap, and I thought of that too. It's very cheap, and so well worth picking up if you can. I did have some trouble finding it, but if you can find it, it is cheap and well worth seeing. But even as I say that, Deej, everybody else in the world owns it already and has seen it a million times. It's only me discovering it now after all this time, rediscovering it. But I thought it was great. And again, this is another one. John Thompson was saying, got it. You know, we need a 4K version of this. This would be great. And it is a Paramount movie, and they are mining their back catalog. So you never know, might get lucky. But it was great. Yeah. Really recommend this. And again, yeah, as Paul says, it's a Coen Brothers. It's going to be different. Well, it is different, but done in a way that evokes the time. That evokes the era in ways that most Westerns don't go near. Most Westerns, they talk like they're in modern day, you know, modern day times. They don't go near the vernacular and the delivery and the intonation that you imagine it was what it was like. It probably wasn't. All right. But, you know, you imagine this is how they would have spoken. And
it's the evolution of the educational system, really. There was a time when it wasn't like mandatory. So you had different vernaculars from different people for, different reasons. So,
But the way it's spoken, the way the dialogue is delivered, even the dialogue itself is very particular. I've not seen a Western do that like that before. And it's really interesting and so much fun. Doesn't mean all of it is intelligible. I think probably about 20% of Jeff Bridges' stuff just kind of, it's just going.
Boomhauer.
You kind of need subtitles on some of that. Yeah. But it's really, really fun. And I do recommend it. And again, I know I'm saying preaching to the converted, but it's very, very good. But anyway, So have you got it though, Deej? Do you own it?
I think I own it on Blu-ray. I don't have it on Kaleidoscape. I'd have to, let me look and see.
Okay. Jordan, I thought you said you knew that it was, but so Jordan's saying he can imagine a 4K disc next year for the 15th anniversary. That would be good. Yeah. And if it does, I mean, this is a day one pickup if they do that. It will be great. Oh, and Paul says, Paul Bill McAllister says $8.95 on Amazon. I mean, if you don't own it, bear in mind, this is an Oscar. Well, in fact, it's only one Oscars, but it was nominated for lots and lots and lots of them. Then, you know, if you haven't seen it like me, or you haven't seen it for a long time like me, then, you know, pick this up. You'd be very glad you did. You know, especially in a decent home theater. So well recommended.
Yeah. It's in HD on Kaleidoscape, $14.99. So.
Okay. So cheaper on Amazon. I mean, for $9. Yeah. You know, that's not bad at all. Well, Van Gogh, do yourself a favor, you know, worth picking it up. You'd be glad you did. I'm sure you will. Yeah. This goes up there with some of the best Westerns I've seen. And in recent years, I've really learned to appreciate the Western genre, The Unforgivens.
Haley at the time was a nobody too.
She
was a nobody. I just said the kid in this is amazing. But then, and honestly, I didn't even know until like your thing. I saw it this week and I'm like, oh my God, that was Haley, because we all know who she is now.
Yeah.
But it's quite. Like, that was Haley Steinfeld back then? Oh my God, you forget. Yeah. I'll never forget how blown away I was.
She's one of the best child actor performances I've ever seen. I mean, you never catch her acting. You know, never kind of see that precociousness it's very clever. And in fact, I'm assuming you could tell me, Deej, what you think, but I'm assuming that in Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, when you've got DiCaprio talking to that young girl who's talking about the things she wants to do, it's got to have been something like that, hasn't it? It's got to have been that kind of thing because of the setting, because of who she is. I mean, it's got to be. It's got to have been inspired by that, I would imagine. It's so good.
It really, really is. Yeah. So, and I mean, I, like I said, I haven't seen it in a while, but yeah, from everything you're saying and what I remember of the home theater experience too, it's like, it's got it all. I mean, great movie, great home theater experience. So
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And again, with Roger Deakins' cinematography, you know, even the shots towards the end with the battle taking place in the background and characters in the foreground, it's awesome. Yeah, very, very nice. There we go. Anyway, house talk. Nice.
House talk. And
house
I
talk,
have
house talk.
I have one more experience, and then we'll get to the big update for the home theater. But here's some more house talk. This was me for the weekend. Crew's gone. It's all me. And now it's up to me to basically put walls up. And like you see in these pictures here, it's like, this is our bedroom over here on the left, on the right side. This is the foyer area. That's a closet. That's the door to the spare bedroom. This is the common bath. That's the tub that's been installed. This is the master bathroom. This is the toilet room. You get your own room. This is going to be our shower area. Yeah. Our vanities over here. This is a view from the foyer. These are the stairs that go up to the attic. That's what will eventually, this is where I kind of ended up today. This wall back here, I'm kind of pointing to. I put that one up this morning before I went to my real job. So this is kind of where we are right now. This is from our bedroom where all my tools and stuff are. This is the walk-in closet. And then you got at the front of the house is the bathroom. And then this is a view, of our mudroom from the garage. So you come into the garage here and then take a quick left and that's the kitchen area. And then these are two of my favorite people on earth. These are the owners of the restaurant in town, and they came by to say hi to me on Sunday when I was working. So they dropped by and I ended up at their restaurant that night. And that was a treat. That was a fun night, St. Patrick's Day. That was
what gives it away that it was St. Patrick's Day?
I don't know. Yeah, they pull in. I was like, oh my God. They get their glasses from the bar. She's just drinking water. But yeah, great, great girls. All right, now I got an experience for you, and you'll know it when you see it. Yeah, Madam Web dropped on Kaleidoscape Friday, and I haven't even had a chance to talk to John about this yet.
Although we know what John thinks of it.
That was fun, but it's like, it's going to be a decent home theater experience. And it is. It really is. It's got some really good scenes. She does her premonition thing that she does. And when they go into those, it's really, really good. I mean, there is a lot of good bass in this. There's a lot of use of the entire room. Stephen at dropped is appropriate. Yes, it is. Here's a situation where your expectations have been so lowered. You're like, all right, it isn't a great movie by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm not minding it. There's some stuff in here that I'm just like, that was bad. There's some, audio dubbing that they did. That's
ADR.
Yeah. It's absolutely atrocious. Atrocious. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's one thing when you shoot from behind somebody and then you just put the different dialogue in, but maybe their lips aren't moving or at all or whatever. But at least this was dead on and it looked like an old timey, like Japanese movie or Godzilla movie. It's not even funny. You're like, I was like, is there something wrong with my system? Like, that was bad. There's another scene where, and now this is like continuity type things. And I see these all the time. It's like, so two vehicles get in an accident. This isn't a spoiler, but two vehicles get in an accident, right? And it's like a dump truck and another vehicle and it just plows into it. And you see it down the street and you see the dump truck just plow into it and push it. And then the scene goes on and then they do a long shot from like the opposite direction, but almost like from a drone, right? You're looking down at it and you see these skid marks that have got to be like 50 feet long. Okay. you see the vehicle that it hit. It's crushed. And you see the dump truck crushed. And it's just like, wow, what? That dump truck was flying. When you see this movie, if you see this movie, take a look at that. What's just beyond. Why was this dump truck flying? Because they were on a pier. It's like, if it didn't hit the vehicle, it was going off the end of the pier. I'm like going, where was that thing going at that speed? It was so ridiculous. I almost took a picture and sent it to John, but I didn't have time. It was so funny. I'm like, are you kidding me? Because it's one thing when you just see it, you think it was an intersection, but then they do this long shot and you see that it's off the end. Taking a long drive off a short pier. It was so funny.
But, oh, man.
But I'm not minding the story and stuff. I'm like, it is like so convoluted, but at the same time, I'm wondering, it probably won't pay off. They're not going to do another one of these. It just tanked. It didn't do well at all.
Yeah.
But there are going to be like some threads, pardon the pun, but that they can utilize with other characters in the Spider-Verse and stuff like that, where they could always call back to this. And if they ever do, it could be one of those movies where you go back and go, like 5 years from now, you'd be like, oh my God, they mentioned that in Madam Web, you know? And because that's kind of what I think they're trying to set up here. Yeah. It just didn't play well. But theater-wise, it's really good.
I've got a screener of it. I've seen the first 20
minutes. I wouldn't waste your time with the screener. I wouldn't. I would wait until you can get the fully enhanced experience.
Yeah. Well, I didn't hate the first 20 odd minutes was, cause again, I mean, expectations are rock bottom. And the first 20 minutes or so was like, that's all right. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not great, but it's okay. And I didn't hate it. So, I mean, I'll definitely buy the 4K disc. I mean, Jordan says here it's going to make a really good 4K disc. I mean, it will because it's a Sony disc.
It's got great sound. It's got some black levels that aren't exactly deep at times. It's like kind of like the Batman type situation going on. But at the same time, then there are some scenes. There was one scene they're walking through like a forest at like dusk. And it's like really nice black levels, really nice detail. The detail is fantastic. And it is. It's a Sony disc. I wouldn't say it's referenced by any stretch, but it's a really good home theater experience for sure.
So Steve At says April 30th. I suspect that's in the US. We will probably get it a couple of weeks around that time.
Yeah.
But I will definitely get the disc. I mean, I've got Morbius. I've got, you know, I've bought worse Sony movies. So I'll certainly get it because
I like Morbius better. Oh yeah. I like Morbius better, but I'm not saying that either of these are great. I listened to hashtag dork a while ago talk about it, and they hated it. They had it ranked lower, like pretty low in their bottom five of worst comic book movies. And I can't disagree with anything they said, but at the same time with the home theater experience and stuff, I just like a bad comic book movie is a good comic, but is a good movie to me. It's like, I just have fun with them. But definitely go in with some low expectations. Absolutely. Yeah. So.
But you know, like I said, I'll pick it up for sure. I mean, Jordan says hasn't seen anything for the physical release in the UK yet. But you know, that's fine. We'll just import it from the US if we have to. And of course, don't forget, Jordan. Of course, they're not being released by Sony. We've got the other place. Is it whatever it is? Not Umbrella.
Yeah,
Resident Evil. Someone else. Yeah. Whoever it is, they're releasing them here, so they might have other plans. But otherwise, I mean, I'd still import it, even if it's expensive. Yeah. It's just kind of one of those ones you kind of got to have
in the collection, right?
Yep, that's the one. Oh yeah, yeah.
This is a great point here. It's like Davis 1138 saying, "Wow, if Morbius is better, that's a really low bar." it's kind of my point. But at the same time, the reason I like Morbius better, I felt like Morbius had more action, a little more action, a little bit more home theater experience than this does. I am kind of intrigued by the story of this. I wish maybe if it was done better or maybe they got to, I don't know what they did here, but it's when you see it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. But it's like, I think it's very intriguing what they tried to do here. And sometimes it doesn't work. You can't make everything exactly the same, right? And if you did, everybody goes, it's just another cookie cutter movie. This is not one of those. And it's like, there were mistakes made. I think they kind of rushed some things. I don't know what happened, but I enjoyed it. I had a decent time with it. It's a good home theater experience.
I think Dakota Fanning and is it Sydney Sweeney or whoever it is? I think they've all pretty much said this was a movie made by
Dakota Johnson.
Dakota Johnson, sorry.
Dakota Johnson. Yeah. And then
Sydney Sweeney. Did I get that right?
I think so. Yeah. The three young girls. Yes. She's like 30 something, but that's the character she plays. It takes place in 2003, most of the movie. So it's like, her powers, Madam, are like premonition. So it's clearly setting something up that they can utilize. Whether they utilize these characters or whatever, or they could actually utilize completely different people playing the characters in present day, because it'd be 20 years later. So all of them could age. They could do a lot of things. So who knows? But they might never touch it again, but they could always add a thread anywhere in any of the Spider-Verse stuff that they ever want to do.
Well, I think the suggestion is that this was tinkered with a great deal during the process and afterwards, and it was made by committee. And the two actresses have said it. Well, they've said, the director had an idea. What I signed on for is not what's been on the screen. And so clearly it's been messed around with quite a bit. So, these things happen. And it's hard to then, we talk about directors and this vision. And if things are being changed on the fly, there we go. Another
there
one.
There you go.
But if things are being messed around with, it's almost as if you have a project and you've got a plan and people keep messing with that project and changing things. It's always a problem. And this seems to be one of those things. And so that's the thing, that's kind of what seems to have happened here. Only having seen the first few minutes, but I'm looking forward to it. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't, and I will. Paul Hurt just says in the chat, Marvel must hate the fact that Sony are allowed to use their logo on the front. Yeah, but Paul, if it wasn't for Sony's money back in the day, Marvel wouldn't be here. So
they wouldn't exist,
quite. I mean, they sold the rights to Sony when they had no other option.
Yeah.
So, I think they got just a bitter pill to swallow now, but there it is.
That's part of the thing too, is they have to make a Spider-Man something or other to keep the contract going.
Keep the rights.
So sometimes they're just like, look, we got to get this out there. We lose it. So they might lose, they might lose all the money in this, but it keeps the Spider-Man universe in Sony's hands.
Yeah.
So that's worth it to them right there. Cause they do another Spider-Man movie or something and it's like, they'll get their money back.
Yeah. Make $1 billion and you're fine. Everyone's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So
there we go.
All right. All right. So I promised you some good home theater updates. So let me go with this right here. I'm going to pull this up and you won't understand right away, but this is the basement. This is the basement looking from our side, looking down. This will be my gym. Those pipes you see on the floor, that'll be the bathroom. Just beyond that will be my gym. All the way down the other side is my parents' side. So then if you turn around, this is where the theater is going to go. So immediately on your left here along this concrete wall will be the stairs to come down. The closest area that you're looking at here that has the like the stuff on the floor right here, the diesel fuel stored in here, that's just the entertainment area. Okay. This backside will be the theater. Here's the good news. I'm going to have a theater when we move in. Because by code, I have to finish the basement. One of the reasons we're having issues right now with budget is I wanted to not do this, but the town's making me do this because if I don't finish all of this, insulate the basement, do everything and get it done, I have to put in for new permits, which means new codes, which means more money. So if I do it now, I actually save money other than the fact that I've just got to come up with the money to do it. So if I'm going to finish all of the exterior walls, I mean, it's literally a half of a percent of the money that I'm to build the walls around the theater. So I don't know if I'll have the equipment for the theater, but as we go along. I'm saying, like, we're pour. I have to do this floor this weekend. I have to get it prepped. We're pouring the concrete supposedly on Monday. Once that's done, I have to start framing this, because when they're done with the rough of everything, that's when the insulation goes in and I have to have walls here and stuff. So once I start doing that, I'm going to start, like I showed the pictures before, the upstairs, this is all going to get framed out. The bathroom's going to get framed out. The theater is going to get framed out. Everything. So I am going to have a theater. I might not have equipment to put in it, but I will have a theater, and we are going to be progressing on this in the next few weeks. So I'm super excited about that, because like my son said, he goes, you could take all your stuff from here. I'm like, yeah, but then you won't have one.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to do this right, and I'm not going to rush it just for that, you know? So, but I will have a theater here. I will have a podcast studio, but yeah, very excited for that, and have the time to build it and everything in between waiting for people to do stuff. So
that's awesome.
Update, it looks like more updates to come.
It looks like you've already been marking out where the seats are going to be. Look at the thing on the floor. No,
that is kind of where they're going to be, but that's actually just trim. That's where the stack of trim was for the deck. Yeah. So, but yeah,
I got a lot of work. Which end is the screen going, Deej? Is it going far end in that picture?
Yeah, far end. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause the far end, the wall will be probably a few feet off of this concrete wall just to keep it separate. And then the screen will be there, and then, you know, you will enter from the back side over here, center doors in the back. So,
and where's is the equipment going to be in a separate room then, like you have now?
Yes. Or is it going to be equipment? Yeah. It will be outside the theater. The projector will be built outside the theater. It'll be in its own area, but it won't be in the theater itself.
Yeah. Cool.
So it'll be on the back wall, you know.
So you walk into the theater through the equipment room? Or will there be
Theater next to the equipment room. So like you wouldn't even see it. I'll have a room for that, but it'll be like you go in there and you'll see the rack and everything. When you walk in the theater, you'll be walking in like under a slight tunnel, but the projector would be over your head in the ceiling above you. Cool. And then yeah, I can't wait to do that. It's like, I can't wait to, I'm like looking forward to what I have for width, because I won't know until I have to like, okay, how thick does this wall, this far wall here? This is where I'm going to be like, I want to build a wall that's not touching that, but I also have to build a wall there for insulation. How thick is that going to be? And then how tight can I get to these columns and this beam here without having to touch them and keep that room within a room here? I think I've got enough height in here, but we'll see.
Are those columns staying then, or are they just bracing for the? For
no, they'll else? Stay. Those are the lally columns. Okay. They're holding up the house, and that's on this spance. Just to give you an idea on like how home theater design this was. Technically, what you would normally do on a house this wide, 35 feet across, this is 17 feet each side. So I got 17 and a half feet to the middle of this beam. Technically, you would run 2x10s, 16 on center, and you would have two rows of columns. To get just halfway, I went with 2x12s, 12 inches on center all the way across. And that gets me to get halfway across. To go all the way across was going to be three times the money I paid for this.
Oh, right.
This is like 1.5 times the money of just the 2x10 way. Okay. So I paid, 50% more for the material just to do the ceiling, the floor, just so that I could have that wide of a room. Right. But it was like, it was three times that price, which is insane. It was like, to give you an idea, I think to do this a standard way, it would have been like $7,000 in the material.
Jeez.
I think I paid 10. Okay. It was roughly about 10 for the material to do it in the beams, in the prefab beams that you could run across would have been over $30,000.
Jeez. That's a lot.
Yeah. And the framers, all the guys are like, you should have put those in, 'cause they're so much easier. You don't have to do all this work in here. You just go boom, put it down, doop, doop, nail it in, you're good to go. It's like, no. Yeah, no, and I priced it all out. I was just like, I can't justify that. No. I couldn't. So.
And are you having a little bar area in the entertainment area? Are you doing yes. that? So where's, is that being plumbed in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So back up here. So like, if you look, the bathroom's here. That's the shower, stand up shower in the back, toilet, sink outlet there. This is another sink outlet because there'll be a wall here with a wet bar. Gotcha. And then this here is the actual pump for the drainage. Cause that's, if you look in the bottom right corner on the screen, it's actually behind the, you can't really, let me see if I can. Oh yeah, it's right below what you, that little thing that's right below our logo.
Yeah, so you can see it on the other picture pump. On your yeah, other one you can see in the corner.
Yep,
I think
it. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. If you look, yep, there you go. That's it right yeah. there. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's in the ground, and it goes like 2.5-3 feet into the ground. And then we bring the concrete up to alongside it here. And then this pumps up to this drainage system that we have here. So it pumps all the fluid out. For the downstairs. But yes, there will be a bar area there too. That's the entertainment side of the
basement. Nice. Yeah. So a big screen down the end there where the wood is on the wall. So you big screen there and then you kind of.
Actually, I'll get a picture for next week. There's two window. There's a slider here and you can see on the right side, that's a window and there's enough space there for a 100-inch screen.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
So you'll be sitting here looking at this. This will be a screen, couches along this here, couch and a love seat or something. My wife wants a sectional. I don't like them, but, but yes, it's coming along. We may not have furniture for a couple of years, but we'll have the rooms.
Hey, you were happy with your metal, your wooden boxes and your and your TV thing. So, you know, it's just a kind of back to the future.
Exactly. Exactly. So there you go. We got some good news. Good. I will have a theater, probably no gear, but one step at a time. You gotta walk before you can run. You know,
Well, I'm just thinking that you just put a little stage up the front and you can just act out the movies.
Absolutely.
It'll be fine. You know, a proper theater.
Yeah. Or no, I'll use my iPhone and just sit in there.
Well, Apple Vision Pro, you know,
no.
just project it.
If I have the money for an Apple Vision Pro, I'll get some gear.
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Jeez. Yeah. So I can't wait. I can't wait to pour the basement. I can't wait to start framing it out. First things first, got to get everything else situated. But once I start framing out the theater itself, I'm like, ugh, I can't. I'm excited. So got to get it done. Town's making me.
It's awesome. I wish every town should have a local town hall that insists on every new build having a home theater. I mean, it just should be law.
What they're saying. They're just saying you got to build this or you're going to charge you more if you don't. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's fine. So, it should be governmental policy. Every new build has to have a home theater to get planning permission.
Yeah. All right. Steve's dinner bell's ringing. My dinner bell's ringing. It's not super late where Steve is, but I'm saying Steve at in the chat's dinner bell's ringing.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Steve George here. So, but yeah, everybody, thank you so much. Wow. Steve, 100. And we've been
over
consistently tickling it. Did we get over?
We did 102 at one point. I think 101, 102.
Oh, geez. Yeah, we've been floating right around there. So guys, thank you. Everybody in the chat and girls in the chat, thank you very much. I use that, guys loosely. Wow. Thank you. It's been awesome. This is Steve and I. John is just watching and he's like, he's got to get back. He's got to get back. But we're going to,
it is cool.
Fun.
I mean, when we started this live show thing, we thought it was great when we had 7 or 8 people in the chat and thought, oh, look, how cool is this? And, you know, just going up and up and up and up. And in recent weeks, just, you know, strength to strength. Yes. So we do appreciate it. And there's obviously a lot of people that are watching that don't jump in on the chat, don't let us know they're there, but we still appreciate you. And it's very cool that you're there. It's amazing. And we are watching
subscribe.
The numbers. And, like, subscribe, comment, as long as they're positive. And, you know, and if you know any builders that are prepared to work cheap in the Massachusetts area,
then I can't even afford them. I'm doing it myself, Steve.
Yeah, that's true.
Even the cheap people, I'm trying to get a price for drywall. If it comes in too high, I'm just going to do it myself. I'm like, my wife hates it. She's hoping it comes in cheap. She doesn't want me to do it. I go, yeah, I can't justify spending that. If it's crazy money, I can't justify it if I can do it myself. I'd rather have the money. I don't need sanity. I just need the money.
Not because I'm greedy.
It's because I don't have it.
Yes. Oh, man. Money.
Hey, dream big and just make it work. That's all you can do.
That's right.
Yeah. That's been my whole life. Just keep trying to make it work.
Okie dokie. All righty. All right.
So. Everybody, have a great week. Steve, thank you. John, hey, buddy. Miss you. Everybody in the chat, thank you very much. Rate, review, subscribe. What do you got to do?
Go push play.
What he said.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.